Hey, do you prefer to find the joy in life, or do you just want some help with that? If so, you're in the right place. So come on in and join the Joy Bunny clan. This is the My Slice of Life podcast. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the My Slice of Life podcast with me, Sharon, your Highland host. Thanks for joining me. I really appreciate it. Now, don't get too emotional, but this is the last episode of season 4, where I've been asking the question, what's so super about the supernatural? And I'm kind of glad it's the last of the season, if I'm honest, because you know that thing where they say when you start looking into the spooky stuff starts happening around you? Yeah, this is the last one. That's all I'm saying. But I want to end on a high note. So I had a wee think, and I went through quite a few other topics before I decided to bring you angels, specifically the Cokeville Miracle Angels. And if you don't already know the story, you are in for a heartwarming treat. Now, as usual, before I dive in, I just want to give a wee reminder to let someone else know about the podcast. Let them know I cover a whole load of topics from life. It's not just this supernatural sort of stuff. In fact, the next season is completely different, so don't go anywhere when this season's done. We have more adventures to have, my fellow Joy Bunnies. Oh yes, we do. But back to this week's episode. I read a lot of reports about this incident, and the best one I found came from a site called Geek Slop. Yeah, it's not, to me, the best sounding name for a site, but there you go. It was a good website. Anyway, enough about the name of the site. Let's crack on with the story. The town of Cokeville is a small community. Do you know, that's me banging the table again. I talk with my hands, even when I'm on my own, it's terrible. Anyway, 502 people live there, according to the 2020 census. It's located in Wyoming's southwest corner, along the Idaho border. It's the kind of place where people know each other by name, leave their doors unlocked at night. You know, that kind of real feel-good place. Anyway, the town's most famous event happened on May the 16th, 1986. And what happened has been declared nothing short of a miracle. Now fasten your seatbelts for this one, friends. This is a story and a half. Right, just to summarise what happened, former town marshal David Gary Young and his wife Doris Young, they took 154 children and 13 teachers hostage at the Cokeville Elementary School. Now they brought with them a shopping cart sized bomb, which did explode in a room packed full of children, but the only people to die that day were Mr. Young and his wife. Though it's reported 79 of the hostages were hospitalised with burns and injuries, but none of them died. In what is called the Cokeville Miracle, the lives of the children and teachers were miraculously spared. And if you ask people from the town how they think that was possible, they'll just look you in the eye, they smile, and they give you one word. Angels. So here's how the events of that day unfolded. So it was just after lunch, and an unknown woman walked from classroom to classroom, interrupting the teachers' lessons and announcing that there was an emergency. I think it was room 2, and that the teacher should rush the children there right away. So she had a story to give them to get them all out of every classroom. And although the request seemed a bit strange, teachers complied, and soon the 30 by 30 foot room was packed full of all 154 children and 13 teachers. And as they entered the room, each teacher was handed a typewritten manifesto with quotes from Shakespeare and Socrates and a really weird title across the top that just said, "Zero equals infinity." Standing in the middle of that room was this scruffy looking guy with this wild look in his eyes, apparently. His arms were resting on a shopping cart, threaded like dozens of wires filled with metal and other material, and a witness said it smelled like gasoline. He also had a bit of rope attached from the cart to his wrist, and it was held there with a clothespin. Now behind him, leaning against the chalkboard that they had in the class, there was like a line of guns, like 4 rifles and about 9 handguns. The man told the hostages he could at a moment's notice simply twitch his arm and the bomb would go off. That's all it would take, just a slight, you know, you couldn't scratch, you couldn't do anything. If he did that, it would have gone off. Now the woman, Doris Young, she did most of the talking and explained to the classroom, which was full of the kids and the teachers, that they were starting a revolution. And they'd figured that each child in the room was required to pay $2 million. Investigators later discovered that the money was to be put into a fund that the Youngs were planning to use after they were reincarnated. That tells you a lot about their mental state right there. But they did believe that a community that loved its children and had really strong roots in the church, which Cokeville does, that they would listen to their demands and just simply comply and pay up $2 million per child. Now, while this is going on, across town, a teenage girl rushed into the town hall shouting that her father had taken a large bomb into the local elementary school, and that was when emergency department coordinator Kathy Davison instructed the town clerk to call dispatchers. He wanted this guy, David Young, he wanted his daughter to take part in this and two other people as well, and they were like, no way, no chance. So she ran across and alerted everybody what was going to happen. The hostage situation actually dragged on for several hours, and the teachers, they did their best. They were trying to busy the children with videos and stories and songs. But, you know, these are little kids. They're not, you know, they're not old children. So their minds are going to keep wandering back, and they're very, very aware of how dangerous this situation was. And as tensions mounted, some of the younger children in that room began to kind of edge towards David Young. You know how they test you? Even though it was a dangerous situation, that's what they were doing. Now, he got visibly irritated at this and instructed the teachers to push the tables and the chairs to the edges of the room and to tape a square on the floor around the bomb. So he was like in this square, and he told them, cross this line of death and I'll start shooting the grown-ups. I'll shoot everyone if I have to. So we're dealing with a really nice guy here. The teachers, however, they called it the magic square, and they told the children, look, just stay away from it. Now, as time went on, the children began to pray. And one teacher actually said this, and this is a quote. The kids were sitting in circles, and as I looked over at them, you could see the circles would be saying a prayer. And they were all doing that. It was amazing to me. End quote. Around 3:45 that afternoon, it's reported that David Young was becoming more and more agitated. The children were crying, they were praying. And he handed, you know, the rope that was attached to him, he gave that to Doris, his wife, and he left the room. So she attached this clothespin to her wrist and, you know, was trying to ensure that the triggering mechanism was tightly secured to her body. One child there, called Nathan, explained what happened to him at that precise moment. Now, this is a quote that I've got off that site, which I've read in many, many places. This is mind-blowing. Nathan said, I was sitting in the classroom playing with a toy when something made me look up. That's when I saw the angels. They were shiny with flowing white robes. Some were holding hands. They glided down through the ceiling, then hung in the air for a second. I felt totally safe. Everyone seemed to have an angel. They came down next to us. My angel was a beautiful, shining woman. It was almost as if she landed on my shoulder. She said, don't be scared, Nathan. Get up and go to the window. The bomb is about to go off. I did just what she said. Other children started doing the same thing. End quote. Now imagine this is happening to the kids like it happened to Nathan. The children's prayers grew louder. Doris Young became really irritated, and at this point she's begging the teachers to settle them down and tell them to stop it. In one careless move. Now, some of the witnesses say she was startled by something, but she got animated and she pulled the cord on her wrist too tight. The bomb exploded and it sent her flying across the room. There was a quote that said, like a flaming torch, so that's horrific. Now, survivors would later say, against all rational explanations, what should have been an almighty tragedy just didn't happen. Instead, it became known as the Cokeville Miracle. So the bomb had gone off and the room really quickly filled with dark, dark smoke, and people couldn't even see who was next to them. It was that thick, the smoke. If you've ever been in that situation where there's been a fire, Unfortunately, I have, and I opened my door and of my flat, and there was a fire downstairs. It was that thick. I didn't even know my neighbour was at my door. So I can picture that. I've been in it. One of the teachers actually said you couldn't see in front of you. All you could do was feel. So they're feeling the way around. Students reported seeing a bright flash followed by a mushroom-shaped kind of cloud of smoke. That's what they saw. Some of them said they were thrown completely across the room. They were getting smashed into walls. One remembers the carpet on the wall igniting, bursting into flames and burning her arm. Now, immediately after the detonation, like I said, teachers are trying to feel their way around the room. They're trying to find all the children. They're putting out the flames that are on their clothing. And then they begin to lift the children out of a blown out window. And they're instructing them, look, when your feet hit the ground, you run. Their parents were outside waiting for them. And as soon as they got out, they were taken. There was a whole lot of emergency vehicles and they were taken behind them. And, you know, obviously all the staff were there to look after them and deal with their medical needs as well. The local paper, which is called the Billings Gazette, it gave one account of the children's experiences during the Cokeville miracle. Now, this is in quotes as well. It says, Laurie Nate was thrown back against the wall. In the darkness, she heard someone speak and caught her bearings. She crawled for the door. When she ran out the school side door, she realised she didn't know where her younger brother Kevin was. She tried to run back in, but the firefighters wouldn't let her. End quote. Another story that they did put in the paper, here's another quote. Jenny Johnson crawled to a hallway connecting her classroom to another, then she blacked out. Her next memory is of running, the bright light of the sun, her grandfather hugging her, pulling her close. Jenny said afterward that she had not run outside, but rather someone had carried her, someone she had never met before. End quote. Now, as the children are outside and they're out, that's fine, they are getting attended to. But inside the school, the drama is still going on. David Young heard the explosion, rushed back into the room with a 45 pistol in one hand and a 22 in the other, found his wife engulfed in flames staggering around the room, raised the 45 and shot her. Then he apparently stepped out of the room, pressed the muzzle of the gun under his chin and took his own life. Now, in the end, the classroom was completely destroyed. And yes, a lot of people were injured. 79, I think, is the number. But the only people who died that day were David and Doris Young. As soon as the children began arriving into the arms of their parents and the emergency services, their stories were coming out thick and fast. Some said a beautiful woman had advised them to go stand near the window. This apparition assured them that the crisis was almost over and that they would be just fine. Some other children reported seeing an angel hovering over the heads of each child in the room, while many of the children later said that their own personal guardian had whispered in their ear, a disaster will happen, but do not be afraid, your life will be spared. Other children said that during the entire episode, a large angel stood near David and Doris Young, between the children and the bomb, with its wings spread for protection. There were more stories of a circle of angels which had formed around the bomb as well, and they would just smile at the children, linking their hands together and making that circle of protection. Now, at first, the authorities dismissed their claims as, you know, panicked ramblings of extremely frightened and traumatised children. But soon, as their stories began to merge, evidence began to stack up in their favour. And they began to realise that something miraculous had just occurred in Cokeville. The bomb experts that were called to the scene were completely baffled. One guy, he was a bomb technician called Rich Haskell. Now, he'd studied bombs in the Marine Corps, completed improvised explosives training at Redstone Arsenal near Huntsville, Alabama. He'd worked with dynamite, blasting caps, fuses, you name it. He knew what bombs could do to buildings and people. A quote from him, I just expected to see dead bodies every place, but I didn't. Now, Young's homemade bomb, it was contained inside an old shopping cart. I'm not going to go into details about how it was made because some of the sites do go into quite a lot of detail. But I will say that he had tested an identical bomb before this incident. He'd used an old school bus and it had worked perfectly. It blew that bus to smithereens. Now, to the experts' surprise, you'll notice I'm going with the experts on this one. All the other ones, they've they've annoyed me, but this, I like the way they've dealt with this. They discovered that only one of the bomb's five blasting caps had actually gone off. The wires to the other four caps were cut, and nobody knows how or who did it. Nobody saw Doris cut them. They didn't see, obviously David didn't cut them. They've no idea how that happened. In addition, the container holding the gasoline had sprung a leak. The fumes of that had actually made some of the children sick, and after some of them had been thrown up the weasels, he'd allowed teachers to open a window so there would be a vent, but that actually created a buffer for the force of the blast. And according to investigators at the time, if the bomb had functioned as it was designed to, it would have blown the entire southwest side of the building, just blown it to bits. It wasn't just the magnitude of the actual explosion. There were thousands of bits of shrapnel flying all over the place. I mean, he had rigged this. And don't forget, he also had bullets. The bullets were going off in the heat as well. It should have killed a lot more people than it did. But there's one very important reason that it didn't. The force of the blast had not radiated outwards in the direction that you would expect and the experts expected. When they analysed the scene, they discovered that much of the force, in fact most of the force, had been directed upwards. And the experts still cannot explain how or why that happened. And if you put all the forensic evidence aside, and there is plenty, even though it has the experts, you know, scratching their head, they know what should have happened, they know what did happen, they just can't come up with a reason for the difference. But the town residents at the time, they began to realise there was a series of lucky events, if you put that in inverted commas, that preceded the bombing. And this also helped to save the children's lives. Here's an example. The town that day was full of emergency responders who happened to be in the area. They'd been working a flood that had occurred the week before. 2 weeks prior to the incident, the volunteer fire department had, for the first time, practiced how to treat the elementary school if it were to catch on fire. Now, their experience was honed over the next 2 weeks because, get this, there was an electrical short in the school's alarm and it kept setting it off and it kept initiating this series of unplanned but extremely beneficial fire drills that the school had to keep doing. But there was one final explanation which appeared as the smoke cleared from the room. Etched into the wall just behind the blast area was the burnt outline of a large human-shaped figure with what looked like wings extending from the side of its body. And that really made people think that the children's stories might have more truth to them than they first thought. Now, one story which came from this involved Jenny Johnson, the student who blacked out and was carried from the burning room. She was looking through an old photo album with her grandmother, and they came across a picture that she'd never seen before. And she said, "That's the lady. She's the one who was there with me." Her grandmother explained she couldn't have known her, because that woman was Jenny's Aunt Ruth, her father's sister. And she had died before Jenny was even born. But Jenny was adamant that's who carried her out. There are a lot of other stories that have come out from this. So if you do want to find out more, go ahead and they're not hard to find. There's a lot on YouTube. There's been a lot of interviews. They even did a series of interviews with people as a town to bring the stories together. And there are books about the incident. A pretty good movie too, which is called The Cokeville Miracle. So if you're interested in finding out more, that is a pretty good film. But what do you think? Really, was this just a series of lucky coincidences combined with, what, mass hallucination? In my opinion, that seems extremely unlikely. I know what I think. You probably know what I think too. I go with the kids. I think they were saved and I think angels were involved, and call me crazy, I don't care, but there are so many stories about encounters with angels online. Some are short, some are very short. Some are just, you know, somebody was in a car crash and this guy appeared from nowhere, got them out of the car and said, "Stay here, help's coming," and just disappeared. I mean, they were in the middle of nowhere. Where did this guy come from? Where did he go? There's many, many stories like that. So yeah, I believe at times they step in and they help. But that's just my opinion. What's yours? And that, my friends, brings us to the end of this week's episode. So leave me a comment, Let me know, do you believe in angels? Have you seen an angel? Or do you have another story about angels that you think the rest of us would enjoy? Please feel free to put it in, or, you know, even a link if there's something that you think we should go and look at. Don't mind that at all. Don't forget to check out my links, of course, and spread the word about this little old podcast to help it grow just a little more, please. Thank you. But until next time, friends, you take care of yourself.